tighter than ever now because he was back in control. So I walked in, and he had his shoe and sock off ready. And he said, "Massage my foot." And I went to massage his foot, and he said, "Stop, it's getting me nauseous." And then I realized that I was trying to get him to do something. It wasn't timely. It wasn't ready. He wasn't really ripe for it. And there was some game we had gotten into of power that was not a liberating game for either of us. And so I said, "Well, I guess that I have nothing to offer you." And he said, "Well, it's been nice seeing you, and goodbye." And that was it. And I have to really honor that. I can't do everything for everybody. Because I really realize that morally, I don't have a right to take away another person's suffering. All I can do is be an environment where they can let go of it if they want to. And that's an important thing. I think we get into our professional roles. Like if you're a psychotherapist, you think somebody's paying you to take away their suffering. And it traps you into feeling inadequate because you can't do it, or guilty, or it's a whole power structure. And what I say is, I will be here with you, and if you are ready to let go of it, you'll let go of it, and if not, you won't. And you'll pay me for that, or not, whatever. I mean, I don't get paid for that, but that's what I would do. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, just for example. Yeah. A conflict between somebody and their mother, yes. Yeah. Yeah. There is no rule book for life. You've got to listen. For one person, the answer would be your way through to spiritual liberation is through working with your mother. For another person, your way to spiritual liberation is not working with your mother, because the dynamics of the way in which you're stuck with each other is so thick that every time you go near her, you get stuck, and you've got to learn which karma you can convert and which you can't. And there's nothing wrong with saying, "This stuff is a little too heavy duty for me to work on now. Maybe later." Now, and then another time you can say, "I'll keep going back into the situation and back into it and keep working on myself until I can stay absolutely clear in the presence of my mother." Because the way you can free your mother is for you to be free of reactivity to your mother. And that's by an appreciation of who she is, of her predicament, of her suffering. In other words, have a full compassion towards her. Not just pity, or not just wanting her to change, but compassion in the sense of full appreciation of how she got into that predicament and where she is, and where your heart doesn't close down around her because she knows just what to awaken in you to get you reactive. It is usually true that one's parents are the last ones that you can be clear with, because they have trained you in the ways in which your mind gets stuck. And they trained you by the way their minds are stuck. So you're not going to be able to get through to them. Now, the question of what does it mean to honor your parents, that's part of what the existential situation is you're living in. That's why you're going back and forth about it, because you can feel that there is something there. But there are a lot of things that are things I have to honor, but I'm not ready yet to take on. And there are others that I can take on, and then I can convert them immediately. And there are others I try to take on, and they're too much for me. I mean, Casper Weinberg, Casper, you know, I mean, I could see that I wasn't fully ready to take on Casper yet and keep my heart open. And if you can't keep your heart open, you know, you're just digging the hole deeper. So the game isn't to, like, I used to be with my father, and he would cry when I would leave. And I was Richard, but I had my Ram Dass world, too, which was quite a lot to deal with. And every time I try to be Ram Dass, it was, he felt he'd start to cry. "What are you leaving me for?" And I had to be able to say, "You know, I love you, and I'm here, but I also have my business to do." And when I was cool and calm in my heart about it, one of the great arts in human relations is to learn how to say no to another human being without closing your heart. Learn how to set boundaries without closing your heart. That's one of the big secrets of interpersonal relations. Most people, when they say no to somebody, they end up feeling guilty and angry and hurt and all kinds of stuff. So you learn how to be quiet enough to hear the way of things, including what part you're going to play, and then play it. And then if somebody wants more or different, you listen. And if it's not to be, you say no. But my guru, it was very far out, the way this teaching came down. I would come to him, everybody would come to him, and when he'd say, you come up to him and you came across the ocean, you bring fruit and flowers and everything, and you go up and you would kneel down and he'd look at you and he'd say one thing to you, and then he'd say jao, which means split, get lost, go away. And you know, at first you get very hurt. I just came across the ocean to see you. You're my guru. You're the biggest thing in my life, and you're telling me to split. And then after a while, you begin to hear that word jao in all these different ways, meaning go, the light's everywhere. Or go, I love you. Or go, what are you staying here for? Or, you know, you don't have to stay, go. And jao became I love you. Far out, jao. Imagine the one thing, most people hear gurus, they think you sign up, you give them all your money. You know, he didn't want anything. He didn't even want me, you know. He'd say, jao, jao, jao. I mean, what are you collecting for? There's nothing to collect. You got it. What do you need it for? Jao, jao, split. Until jao was, I love you, I love you. And you learn how to say no in a way that doesn't withdraw. You don't close your heart when you say it. And that's when you can do it. Ladies and gentlemen, I see people noticing their watches because it's 5 minutes past five. I think we're supposed to end at five. In India, when we meet and part, we often say namaste, which means I honor the place in you where when you are resting in yours and I am resting in mine, there is only one of us. It's the same statement as may your wisdom mind and mine remain inseparable. Namaste. May you go in peace.